Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Welcome in to Harry Carey's legendary Italian Steakhouse in downtown Chicago and Kinzie. This is Blackhawks Live. I'm David Kaplan with Brian Noonan, Andrea Darlis, and we're thrilled to have a capacity crowd. How awesome is this? For our first ever Blackhawks Live, we've got Bobby Hull, Stan Mikita, John McDonough. John, I want to start with you. You take the job in November of 2007. If I had told you you'd have a Stanley Cup already and that you would have a sold-out radio show for Chicago Blackhawks hockey, what would you have said to me?
David, I think I might have believed it. I think when we made the decision to bring Bobby and Stan back, I think, you know, we realized that they brought a few generation of fans with them. When I had the original conversation with Bobby, it was the first time that I really learned some extreme Canadian profanity. I'd never heard it before. But when we did make an agreement with Bobby, and then I called Stan and he found out what the agreement was with Bobby, he had a great line. Stan, you'll remember this. Stan said, "I should have hired Bobby as my agent 40 years ago."
That's right. Well, first, I want to thank everybody for being here. First of all, Stan and Bobby and John, we're happy to have you. Congratulations, gentlemen, on the statues. I was honored to be there the other night. The statues are breathtaking. How much input, if any, did you guys have on them? And once those sheets dropped, what were your first thoughts when you saw them?
You want to go?
I'll get
wet first. Actually, I did see myself about halfway through the projection of this particular 6'8" guy, which if I jumped that high, I couldn't get there. But it was unbelievable the things that go through your mind when you sit there and you look and you say, "Geez, that guy could be alive." Right, and of course I won't take any credit for that, but the artists that did it from the studios the talent that they have is unbelievable. You know, I thought I had a little talent to maybe put it in the top corner or something, but this was unbelievable.
Bobby, we sat down and did the Blackhawks Confidential a few years ago, and you took me back to your first conversation with John, the first time that he called you. Take us back to that moment, because it's just amazing to see where Blackhawks hockey is today.
There are ladies in here.
Live radio.
And this is live. I guess I didn't hold very much back. I had been storing things up for some 30-some years, wondering why 2H, I was in Winnipeg and not in Chicago. Yes. And I guess I needed to get everything out. And John wanted to know if there was any animosity left. And I said, "Not after our two meetings. All the animosity is gone." And he said, do you think you could be a part of the Chicago Blackhawk organization?" I generally work alone. He wondered if I could be a part of the Chicago Blackhawk organization and forget the past. Now, I haven't forgotten the past, but the future is so bright. Since I turned 70, these people, Rocky Wirtz, John, Jay, Peter, the rest of the organization, they have had such an impact on this guy. Now you think, I've scored 50 goals a couple of times. We won a Stanley Cup. We won a league championship. But he's not as tough as what he looks. And when these folks invited me to be a part of the Chicago Blackhawks organization again, it dug deep. And it was something, since I retired in 1979 and 80, I've been a nomad. I've been just floating. I knew I wasn't a Winnipeg Jet, and I knew that I wanted to be a Chicago Blackhawk. And this last little while, these people have shown me what a great organization they are. I've never known the care that they give, not only to Stanley and I, but to the entire organization. I've never seen a group of people get along so well as I do up in that office when I see the people going in and out of the offices of John's and Jay's and Rocky's and Peter's. And they're always coming out with a positive yes shake of their head. I've never seen anything negative yet in that office. And I'm so very, very pleased that, first of all, I'm part of the Chicago Blackhawks organization. And now I'm part of the bricks and mortar, something that will sit there for eons to come, and people will be able to walk by and say, yeah, he wasn't so bad. Yeah, they could play a lick. And I thank you again from the bottom of my heart. John, take it to the organization. I'm just so happy to be a part of your organization and part of that wonderful gesture of having Stanley and I out there on the pavement.
Who turned him on?
Stan, Bobby was very eloquent in what he had to say about his thoughts about the statue. Give us your thoughts when you saw the statue and being back in the Blackhawk organization.
Well, the second one should come first, I guess. I was out of the business of hockey from 1980 all the way through to 3-4 years ago. I was having a little bit of fun. You know, I couldn't save any money on what I was getting paid that particular era. But thank you. Anybody got a pail, we can always lose. Hard cash, that you call it. And no, it was, but I missed it. I really missed being around the locker rooms, the smelly jock straps, and forgive me. That was a lie. That was a lie. I liked them washed every day, and most of them did. Most of them did. The statue was a different story. It wasn't really unexpected, because I had a nice conversation with John, and he said, we're going to do this for Bobby and you. And he said, what do you think? I'd kiss him, but then it'd be somebody would start up some kind of a. So I will not do that, but I will say thank you to all these people. Thank you.
Brian.
John, Forbes called what you've done with the Blackhawks the greatest business sports turnaround ever. When you joined the organization in 2007, what was your top priority as you came in?
Well, Brian, we walked into a good situation with the team on the ice. We had a very good young team, and it all starts with, you need to build a front office. You need to hire the right kind of people. And I remember the first day after the press conference, the message that I sent to the organization is the pace is going to be swifter, the expectations are going to be higher, and I need to have these people on board. And you could tell by body language there were a fair number of people that just were not going to be on board. But we had a very good product on the ice, but I needed to fortify all of that. And I hired who I thought was the best business executive in professional sports, and Jay Blanc, who's our executive vice president of business operations. But we really needed to reinvent that brand. We needed to build a new culture. We needed to get out of the grudge business. We needed to act like an original six franchise. We were representing the city of Chicago, the greatest city in the world. We needed to win, but we really needed to build a foundation around it, a really respected business, and we needed to get on television. That was critical. And the partnerships that we've been able to forge, one of the most important partnerships is our relationship with WGN, and all that Tom Langmeier and the station has done for the Chicago Blackhawks is immeasurable. But we had a very good product on the ice. There were some very difficult decisions that had to be made. Those are obvious. It was some twisting and turning for a while, certainly for me. But in hindsight, I feel the right decisions were made. And the grade that I would give our organization, however, 4 years into this, regardless of what Forbes would say, and we appreciate it, the grade that I would give our organization is a resounding incomplete. We still have a lot to do. We still have a lot to prove. And because we're the Blackhawks, we know who we are. And we know where we are in this landscape in Chicago. And we have a lot to prove every day. And this is a really hungry group of Blackhawks, I can guarantee you.
Andrea Darlis has a number of questions from you in the audience. Let's get started.
All right. I can't promise anything, guys. We have a very inquisitive crowd tonight. They first want to know, is it true that the seasoned veterans used to make the rookies go through the halls of the hotels looking for discarded food?
Oh. Who is she asking?
Wrong. The veterans started going through the halls. Because I used to come in with Mr. Makita after everything had closed down. And we had no place to get something to eat.
Bobby, wait a minute. You don't remember all those nice Chinese places closed at 4?
You were out there. I didn't like Chinese. That MSG got to my head.
It was the MSG?
It wasn't the Budweiser or the... But when we would come in, there'd be nothing open, and I wasn't going to go to bed hungry. I'm from a family of 11, and I went to bed hungry when I was a kid. And I'll be damned. Making $6,500 a year, was I going to go to bed hungry? So we would go. I'd send Kenny Hodge. I'd say, you go up one floor, Freddie Stanfield, go down one, Freddie. I'll take this one that we're on now. And we'd go around, and all the room service trays. Here would be a couple of pieces of sometimes filet, but mostly those sandwiches. What do you call it? Did you cut in four?
Club sandwich?
Club sandwich. They were the best. And you knew that the pieces left were touched. So they made a real good, we made a real good stab at those. And just about anything else that we didn't think had been handled too much. Back to the room she came, and I want to tell you, we never went to bed hungry.
Bobby, you told an unbelievable story when you and I sat down and did Blackhawks Confidential, and you said that from age 12 you were Blackhawks property, and then the Hawks show up at your house, you got your mom and dad at the kitchen table. Tell that story about them wanting to sign you, what your dad did.
Well, I'm enrolled in school playing football. Stanley and I played football, senior football, in St. Catharines. And we trained in St. Catharines. I say we trained. We were part of the St. Catharines junior team at that time, the TPs. And it just so happened that the Chicago Blackhawks also trained in St. Catharines. And when I wasn't going to school and when I had time, I would go down and practice a little with the Blackhawks. But mostly I was in school and enrolled in school and played football. The night that I turned pro, I didn't get home until 6 o'clock at night. And Bob Wilson, who was chief Eastern scout at that time for the Blackhawks, had been calling every 15 minutes from 4 o'clock on. And as soon as I walked in the house, my landlady said, Mrs. Christie said, you're in for it. You're in trouble. I said, again? Now what for this time? Because it always seemed that I was the guy that was in trouble. And just then the phone rang. She said, I'm not going to get it. You get it. It's for you. So I picked up the phone and said hello. And the voice on the other end in a kind of gruff tone said, where the hell have you been? Until 6 o'clock. I said, I've been at school. He said, till 6 o'clock at night? I said, I played football. He said, don't you know that you are supposed to be down at the arena? The Blackhawks are playing an exhibition game with the New York Rangers, with the likes of Gump Worsley, Harry Howell, Andy Bathgrape Gate. So I made arrangements, made a couple of phone calls, made arrangements to get my landlady some tickets and a gal pal that I had. And just got down to the rink in time to put the stuff on. And I got lucky that night and scored two, if you can imagine. Now, I kind of tell the story a little bit to suit me. And now the scene changes to the kitchen of our little old home in Point Anne, Ontario. 500 people, 600 dogs. You know, one of those deals. And Tommy Ivan, who was then general manager of the Chicago Blackhawks, sitting across the table, the kitchen table, from my mother and father and I. And after a little small talk, Tommy Ivan said, Mr. and Mrs. Hull, we would like to sign your son to a professional contract for $6,500 a year. My dad jumped up and says, get the hell out of here. I don't have $6,500 to give you. And my mother, being calm and cool as she is, was, reached out and grabbed him by the pant leg and said, Bob, sit down. I think they want to sign Robert to a contract to play for the Blackhawks. And I just about melted. I had no idea. I'm enrolled in school. I'm playing football. Stan and I are double dating in his father's half-ton pick-me-up. But he always got the front seat, and I got two potato crates in the back. It wasn't so bad.
Stan, people may not know from your gentlemanly demeanor now, but early in your career, you were one of the most penalized guys in the league. Then, for some reason, you changed your ways. You went on to win the Lady Byng Memorial Trophy. What made you change?
Bobby talking in my left ear. He said, we won't go into that. He's gone into things like that enough, but we'll keep it civil and answer the questions correctly. What was the question?
Whatever you want it to be. Okay. What made you change your ways?
Well, in closing, I'd like to say what a... Isn't it? It's time, isn't it, David?
Plenty of time.
Do I have to tell the story?
Stan, you're not going to tell the story?
Which one?
Why you changed? Oh, why you went from being such a
that's
bruiser?
Too long. How much time
when
do we have?
When your daughter
before?
Went to
time.
The
okay.
30 seconds.
What happened was, listen, I didn't laugh at you, so. we had at that time a daughter, Meg. She's about 6 years old, and the previous night we were in New York playing the Rangers, okay, we always play the Rangers. And we got home the next day in the morning, and I'm walking up the stairs with my little briefcase, and out comes Meg running out of the house. Oh, Daddy, Daddy, yeah, welcome home. She said, you were so good last night. Mommy let me watch the first period, you know. And she said, you were so good. It was, boy, let me give you a kiss. And she's all over me. And I said, well, thank you very much. She says, yeah, but there's just one thing, she said. When that guy out there that's got all those stripes on, and he's got a whistle, and once in a while he blew it and he pointed the finger at you and said, that way. He said, what happened? You know, I kind of looked at you, and she said, Bobby went to sit over with Uncle Ab and Uncle Kenny, and you had to skate all by yourself to the other side of the rink and had to sit there. Now, I thought if a six-year-old had enough brains to figure that one out, I actually gave it some thought afterwards, and I think she was the main reason for me going through that.
Oh, very nice.
About that. Andrea has a bunch of questions from you in the audience. Andrea.
We do, we do. All right, for Bobby and Stan, folks want to know your most memorable game and your best fight.
The most memorable fight with that guy by the name of John Ferguson.
Yeah.
And most memorable game, was it?
Most memorable game and fight.
And same night.
The same night? That's also a question about losing teeth, too. I'm assuming that was part of it.
How about you, Stan? Most memorable game? Most memorable fight?
I don't remember too much of the fight. It didn't last long. The gentleman's name, and I call him Sir now, was a gentleman by the name of Gordon Howe.
Oh, Jesus.
And he sure as hell knew Howe. We were off for a face-off, and Gordy was right wing, and he came skating across the circle. And unfortunately, I went to lift his stick up, but I hit him in the arm and bounced off there and hit him in the cheek, my stick. And it cut him just a little itsy-bitsy thing like this. It wasn't even hardly bleeding, but he kind of felt something, so he put his glove under his armpit, and he went like this. And there were three or four drops, and Gordy doesn't mind the sight of blood, okay? As long as it's not his, he doesn't give a damn who's out there. So he kind of pointed at me. He says, I think I owe you one, kid. I said, you're too old. We got to get you out of the league, and so on. And they called the period was over, so we went skating off the ice. I'm sitting next to Ted Lindsay in the locker room during this intermission, and Teddy said, Stanley, you shouldn't have done that. And I said, Teddy, why shouldn't have done what? He said, you know, you called him old and he shouldn't be around and so on. He says, oh, I thought you were going to say about cutting him in the cheek. He said, well, that's another thing. He can live with that, but I don't think he's going to live much with what your mouth just said. And I said, he's so old, he'll forget it, right? We go out for the next period, and in the third period, nothing happened. I kept an eye on him, you know, kind of. At that time, we played 14 games per team. So we played 7 at home and 7 at their place. And about the 6th or 7th game against Detroit, I figure he really is senile. He's forgotten completely everything. Well, the very next shift, I'm looking over this way, and I saw him over here, but I somehow took my eye off him for that split second. And next thing I know, I'm laying on the ice, and I'm rolling and reeling, and I'm looking at all the stars up there. And says, oh, my God. So I crawl off into the bench area, and I sit down on a bench. And next thing you know, we got two guys, one in the armpit, us over here and over there, and they throw me back on the ice. I sat in the Detroit team's bench. I said, oh, my God. So anyway... They get me to the bench. Now I got ice cubes all over me and so on. And our spare goalie sat right next to me. And, oh, man, that just, it's killing me. And so he looks at me and he says, he's a French Canadian. He says, Stan Lee, you know what happened? He says, do you want the number of that truck that just run over you? And I said, don't be a smart. And so... I said, I'm hurting bad. Tell me, what happened? He says, well, he says, both of you skate down the ice. He says, and he go like this. And as you go by, he go like that. And he put the glove back on. He said, 20,000 people in the place. I the only guy that saw it. And basically, that was the fight that got me straightened out in a hurry. And that's where I learned how to call him Mr. Howe.
John, I got to ask you, because we've heard the players talk so much about the game-winning goal Patrick Kane scored to win the Stanley Cup. Take us inside the skybox. You and Jay are in there. Who else was in there? When the shot is taken by Patrick Kane, take us back to that moment.
Well, Philadelphia had tied the score with 3 minutes left, 3 minutes left. And you know, I just gotten the sense I've been in this situation before. And you know, it's kind of frozen in time because you just need one to go your way. Then it wound up going into overtime, and going through four rounds of the Stanley Cup and ultimately the finals, it's like a heavyweight fight. You want it to go your way, but you want it to end eventually. And you know, we saw Patrick Kane kind of skate to the left and at a really odd angle slip the puck under the goalie's pad. Now, we didn't see it, but the reason that we knew we won the Stanley Cup is we saw Patrick Kane skating the other way. He was either disrobing or on fire. And no one else knew it either. But then Jay and I looked back, and you could see on the replay clearly that the puck went in. And I think Jay really said it best for us. I agree with him. It was more of a relief than a celebration, you know, for us to experience that fairly earlier in our Blackhawks career. I think it was the third year we had been there. But it really was a great thing for the city of Chicago, you know, being on that parade with 2 million people, and to see what those players accomplished and what those management people accomplished. It was really, you know, it was life-changing.
Okay, I got to ask you about this year's team, because last year you had 10 new faces. There were some salary issues you had to work through. But boy, this looks like a team built to try and win another Stanley Cup this year.
Well, I'd like to think so. It's a very skilled team, and I think Stan Bowman, who's done a wonderful job since he's ascended to the general manager's vice president, general manager position. Last year, he had each player in at the end of the season, and he gave them about 10 or 15 minutes, and they all kind of said the same thing. We need to get tougher to play against. We need to get grittier. We got to protect those star players that we have. And I think he filled those needs and then some. We have a very fertile farm system. Our draft was just given by the Hockey News an A+, one of two teams out of all of the NHL that had that. So I think there's a number of young players that are coming through. You know, I think that we talk about all the time the importance of your director of scouting and your farm system, and I think that the cavalry's coming for the Blackhawks.
Stan, Bobby, you guys are 1-2 in a number of Blackhawks records, games played, goals scored. Did that ever lead to some good-natured competition, ribbing, when you guys were coming up together?
I don't think so. I think there was only one time where Bobby and I had some words. It was in Vancouver, and Bobby had some friends out there who owned 3 or 4 boats. So we jumped in and went out to try and do some fishing. And after about 8 hours, Bobby's got one on his line. Honest to God, it's got to be as big as these tables, okay, together. And we had had a couple of beers in between, just with lunch, you know, with lunch. And I said, Bobby, that's a monster. So I'm looking for the net. I get the net, and I had never held the net before in my life, okay. And I go the top first, okay, and as I try to scoop it down, I see this guy jump and that line hanging out of his mouth, and he's gone. And I look over at Bobby, and he's crying. He said, Stanley, I don't know if I should kill you now or wait. That was the only time over a stupid fish, right? Are we even now? Ask Gordy that, too.
Yeah.
All right, let's get one more real quick from Andre before we go.
Okay, how long did the scooter line play together?
Well, I was fortunate enough to be on the same line with those fellas. I was the center iceman. Kenny Warren played with me for 10 years. Yeah. Okay, sorry, I forgot about the mic. Hi, Mike. Ab McDonald was left winger for about 6 years, and Doug Moens, who we got from Boston as a defenseman, played left wing for the rest of the time till he retired. So we really had it together with that with those three guys. I wish they were back. I could still play maybe.